Tonight is lesson two in a series of four planned on the general subject of preaching Jesus. This morning we talked about preaching Jesus from Acts 8. Next Sunday we'll talk about preaching a complete Jesus and preaching too much about Jesus. Tonight's lesson is preaching like Jesus. For the benefit of those of you who may not have been here this morning, we introduce these four lessons by telling you about two anonymous letters that have recently been received by preachers. One saying, "Preacher, preach Jesus and quit preaching on so many poems and book reports." And certainly we need to think about that idea. The other was, "Preach Jesus and quit preaching so much about the church and the plan of salvation." We also need to think about that and the implications of it. This morning we just simply went to Acts 8, where Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and then we looked at verse 12, which shows what they heard in that sermon. The latter part of the chapter we looked at the story of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, where Philip also preached Jesus to him and saw the results and what Philip must have talked to him about as he was preaching Jesus. Tonight, let's think about preaching like Jesus. You know, there's a lot said about role models today. You probably noticed in many of these marches that have taken place that there are comments about how much our younger boys need male role models, how much our younger girls need the right kind of female role model. The work of the church, we recognize that the elders are to be role models. They are to be examples, as along with being leaders in the church. And I think it goes almost without saying that all of us as Christians are to be role models, because we're to let our light shine. We're to let people see good things in us. It's good for every person to look for a role model. It bothers me sometimes to think that too many of our young people may be looking to the sports figures and movie stars for role models. And sometimes there are some good role models there, but maybe more so there than in some other places where there might be better role models. I am convinced, without a doubt, that there is one place where we as preachers can go for a role model and be sure that we're looking in the right place, and that's to Jesus. Certainly Paul could be a good role model for a preacher. Peter would be a good role model for a preacher. Philip, Stephen, others. Moses, in many ways, even others, the prophets in the Old Testament. But I think I would get no argument from any of you tonight if I were to suggest that Jesus Christ is the number one role model for preachers. And therefore, if those of us who preach today can learn to preach like Jesus, that we ought to be preaching in the right way and preaching the right thing and ought to be pleasing to God. Believing that, I sat down the other day and tried to begin with the idea that I'm going to try to lay aside every idea that I might have at this point, any preconceived idea on the subject. And I want to just take the New Testament, especially the four accounts of the gospel, the four accounts of the life of Jesus, and I want to look for two things. I want to look for a passage that says Jesus preached and see what he preached. And I want to look for those passages, and immediately the Great Commission came to mind, where Jesus sent others out to preach and told them what to preach and what to do. Now, it just seems reasonable that if we can see what a person did himself and what he told others to do relative to some subject, that we'll have a pretty good idea of what his idea about that subject was. If we can understand what Jesus preached and what he told others to preach, and we do that, we ought to be preaching like Jesus, and we ought to be successful. In Matthew, the fourth chapter, in verse 17, I found where the Bible says that Jesus preached. "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say." Now, here's what his message was. He began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm not for sure that's what some people would expect Jesus to be preaching. At least if modern day ideas were applied to the subject, this idea of preaching Jesus in general that we hear so much about, I'm not for sure that some would expect Jesus to be preaching on repentance and preaching about the kingdom. Drop down a little bit further in that chapter at verse 23. Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching. The sentence doesn't end with a period there. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. What was Jesus preaching? He was preaching the gospel. Most of us are familiar enough with Romans 1 that tells us the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2, that the gospel is that which was preached, that which was received, that where people were to stand, and that by which they were saved. Now, if Jesus were preaching that same gospel, and I believe he was talking to people about being saved and the power of the gospel to save. He was talking about them taking a stand in that gospel, and he was talking about being saved by that gospel. And yet this passage says he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, if Jesus was not going to place any emphasis on the church or any emphasis on the kingdom, why would it say that he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom? A third place in Matthew at chapter 9 in the passage that Brian read a few minutes ago. Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now here are three times in the book of Matthew, twice in the fourth chapter and once in the ninth chapter, that it says Jesus went and preached. What was his subject? All three of them mentioned the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is his hand, and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, I won't take the time tonight, I think most of you are familiar with the fact anyway, to prove that the kingdom was established by Jesus. Passages like Colossians 1 show that it was a reality. John was in the kingdom as he was writing the book of Revelation. But Jesus came to establish the kingdom. On one occasion he was asked, "Art thou a king?" He said, "Thou hast spoken. I came into the world for this purpose. This is the reason I came." You'd expect a man to be talking about the reason that he came to this earth, wouldn't you? Now keep in mind that a large number of people, especially those that have the radio evangelism programs in general, and even many of the religious groups that you and I know today, and people who are members of them, people that you and I associate with on a regular basis, do not believe that the kingdom has yet been established, and teach that the church was a substitute for the kingdom, and that just might be one of the reasons why so many people are saying, "Let's quit talking so much about the church," because they do not understand that the kingdom is a reality, that Jesus came to establish the kingdom. He did not fail in that. He did exactly what he came to do. That kingdom is his church. It is his bride. It is that for which he is returning. And folks, when Jesus went out preaching, he was preaching the kingdom and trying to get people to come into it. And he was telling them if they were going to come into it, they needed to change their lifestyle. Now, that's not the general trend of preaching that you're hearing today. If I am reading right what's taking place, I'm convinced that we're hearing a lot of preachers in many ways trying to find ways to let people live like they want to, tolerate them in sin, and condone what they're doing. And basically saying it doesn't really matter what you do, even in worship. Doesn't really matter what you do, just as long as you do what you do in a sincere way, it's okay. Jesus was preaching a change in lifestyle. Now, if you really want to know about Jesus' preaching, read between the passages that I've referred to tonight. In between Matthew 4, 17 and 23 and Matthew 9, 35 through 38, the major part is the Sermon on the Mount, which really shows us how Jesus preached. And if you want to know what Jesus thought about the kind of living that people ought to do, you read that sermon. For example, if you want to know what Jesus thought about the relationship between husband and wife and the relationship between two people or among people, as far especially as sexual relationships are concerned, you read that Sermon on the Mount. And then stop and think about what's happening in our time. One of the biggest problems we're facing in America is the disease of AIDS. You put your pencil and paper to it, the government is spending more per person on that disease than cancer, heart disease, or anything else. And it's almost impossible to see a program on television of a national ranking without the little red ribbon. And don't misunderstand me. I have compassion for everybody that has that disease, and I'd like to do anything to try to help any person who has it or the possibility of it to be cured, to be better, and to come out of it. But folks, the answer to it is in the Bible, and it's just the opposite of what the country is doing. Our country is spending money to try to help people continue to live in immorality and have their own lifestyle. I believe I could give this country, give the world, a cure for the disease of AIDS that would basically take place in one generation. Do what God said about human relationships. Accept homosexuality as a sin, cease it. Become committed to the vows of marriage. And basically, in one generation, we can do away with what is the biggest problem in this country. And that's what Jesus would have said. If you don't believe it, not only did he condemn the act of adultery, he even condemned the look in his sermon that's recorded between these passages that we've just read. Jesus preached repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, what am I going to preach if I preach like Jesus? Now, the second point in determining how to use Jesus as a role model is to listen to the advice that he gave others. And I suppose, really, we ought to use a word that's stronger than advice. Listen to the commandments that he gave to others about preaching. Over in the 9th chapter of Luke, in the middle of a setting where there are three people who are talking about following Jesus, and he talks to each one of them about putting him first, in answer to the one who said, "Suffer me first to go and bury my father," Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach." What in the world do you suppose he told him to preach? Go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Go and preach. Preach what? Go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Not only did Jesus preach the kingdom of God, when he told someone to go and preach, he told them to let that be their subject. Now let's look at the three accounts of the Great Commission in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see what Jesus told people to preach. Matthew's account, verses 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," or preach to all nations, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." You mean Jesus told people to teach baptism and practice it? And he told people to teach others to observe something? And then he told them what to observe and said, "You teach them the things I've commanded them." Oh, you hear some say today, let's get away from doctrine. Let's get away from telling people there are commandments to be obeyed. Are we going to preach like Jesus? Jesus said, "You go into all nations. You teach all nations." The American Standard Version says, "You make disciples of all nations." In other words, you turn people to follow after Jesus. What are you going to teach them? You have to teach them something about the plan of salvation if you're going to baptize them by the authority of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he said, these folks that you baptize into Christ, into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then you teach them to observe my commandments. And that's what Jesus told the apostles to preach. In Mark's account, at Mark 16, 15, and 16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You'd sort of expect that because we've just seen that's what he preached. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth shall be damned or condemned. You mean our Lord talked about people being condemned? Yes, he did. Oh, but now, preacher, don't preach anything negative. Don't preach anything that tells people that there are certain things that are wrong. Jesus did. And that's what he told his apostles to preach. He told his apostles to tell people, if you will believe and be baptized, you can receive the remission of your sins, you can be saved. If you won't believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you are condemned. Oh, but now, preacher, you ought not to tell anybody they're lost. Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned. That's what he told the apostles to preach. Let's go to Luke's account, chapter 24, verses 47 and 48. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, Jesus, you want people to go out here and tell these folks that are living in sin that they need to repent? Folks, that's what I understand him to be saying. And you mean that they need remission of sins, that they've got to get out of their sins and be remitted of them? I understand that to be what he's saying. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Folks, in too many instances today, pulpits in this land don't even know what the word sin is. Not hearing anything about it. That's what Jesus said, preach. He said, you teach all nations, you baptize them, you teach them to observe something, you teach them to observe my commandments, you teach them if they'll believe and be baptized, they'll be saved. If they won't, they'll be condemned. And you teach them repentance and remission of sins. To whom, Jesus? Among all nations. To every creature. That just about gets everybody. And folks, I believe that's what it means to preach like Jesus. We've seen what he preached, and we've seen what he told his apostles and others to preach. But now here, in my opinion, is what made Jesus the model preacher. All that we have said is true. Everything that we've talked about tonight needs to be preached. But there's something said particularly in Matthew 9 in the passage that Brian read earlier that helps us to see that there was more to it than just the subject matter. And here may be the answer of pulling these ends together and really understanding what it means to preach like Jesus. Jesus preached a straightforward message. He told people where they were wrong. He told them that they needed to change. He preached repentance, which is change. And he preached that they needed to be in his kingdom, be his people, and live for him. But I think here is what made Jesus the master preacher. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. And he went ahead and said that the harvest is plenteous, but we don't have enough laborers in the harvest. Jesus had two qualities that caused his message to be accepted. He had compassion, and he had a love for souls. In fact, the second of those, I believe, is the number one thought that Jesus had in his mind. Why did he come to this earth? To save sinners. Why did he die on the cross? To save sinners. Why did he preach? Why did he send others to preach? Why does he tell us to preach? Why does he want the gospel taken to the whole world? To save sinners. That's the number one thought on the mind of our Savior, to save souls. Now, when we preachers, let that be our number one priority, we'll be better preachers. We don't have to change the message. We don't have to soft soap the message. We need to be sure that, number one, we have a love for the souls of men. God's not willing that any should perish. You and I should never meet a person, no matter how mean he is or how much he turns us off, but that we are interested in his soul being saved. And then Jesus had compassion. When I read that, I read that what I have said many times ought to be the golden text of the Bible for preachers, and that's speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth, don't compromise the message at all, but wrap it up in the milk of human kindness and love, and people will listen to it. Folks, if I understand these passages that I've shared with you tonight, in looking at Jesus as a role model and trying myself to be as much like him as I can humanly be, I understand Jesus to have gone out and preached a changed life to become his people and to live for him. And that he sent his apostles and others out to preach his kingdom, the plan that will put people into his kingdom, the commandments that will help people live in that kingdom and be a part of that kingdom when he comes to receive it and take it to be with him for an eternity. I believe that's what it means to preach like Jesus. I'm convinced if Jesus were here in person tonight, he would say to those of you who have not become a part of his kingdom, repent and obey and become a part of the kingdom tonight. I believe if Jesus were here in person tonight and were talking to you as an erring child of God, he would say, repent. Change your life. Do those things I've commanded. Observe those commandments. That's what he told his apostles to preach. And folks, I don't know how to improve on the way Jesus preached. Therefore, I would encourage you, if you've not been baptized, to come to Christ tonight. If you need to be restored, to come to Christ tonight. Let's together and stand and sing.
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubt and give all. Just now, reject him no more. Just now, throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. If 'tis for purity traveling, let Jesus come into your heart. Fountains for cleansing are flowing nearby. Let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubt and give all. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. If you would join the glad sounds of the blood, let Jesus come into your heart. If you would enter the mansions of rest, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart.
There are some announcements that we especially of you would be willing to deliver one or two. Go by after the 11th, 3rd Lord's Supper, by 10 minutes.